Find yourself too busy, stressed out, and unfulfilled? Know what you are supposed to do, but have no idea how to fit it all in? Doesn't have to be that way. Welcome to Seamless Life with Alan Vaisberg, a program that shows you how to do all the things you know you're supposed to do. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you make your life seamless.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Seamless Life. I'm your host, Alan Vaisberg, and it's such a pleasure to have you on with us again. Last week was a little break week, so I'm very happy to be back on the air, live, and in person. After the first break, we're going to welcome our guest for the evening, the wonderful, beautiful, beautiful soul, Dirk Terpstra. I'm looking forward to speaking to him because we'll continue the discussion that I'll start in just a moment about how to turn your life into one of creation as opposed to one of reaction. So looking forward to speaking with Dirk. But in the beginning, in our first segment, what I wanted to do, I'm always late with the poetry portion. So for some reason, when I start reading the poem is when the music comes in, and then I never finish it. So we're going to reverse the trend, and I'll start with a poem, and that will lead us into our discussion. This poem I wrote a long time ago. I wrote in 1998, which is funny because it took me 14 years before I actually did anything about that, what you're about to hear. But the poem is titled, "My Future Isn't Seen With Eyes, Just Staring at the Wall." The night was long awaited, the night when I would see my future's way. I thought, I dreamt, I hoped and waited. And finally there came the day. The papers folded, rested on the plate, until the fire slowly but with passion devoured through the pages of my fate, leaving but only shriveled ashes. The candle showed a certain path, the wall projected but a feeling. Anticipation held my breath to concentrate on the true meaning. And after turning plate around in circles, looking deep, trying to catch a glimpse of how my future will proceed, I noticed something. Not a house, nor fish, or crown, or dog. It wasn't anything at all, just shadows on the wall. And only then I realized the meaning of it all. The future isn't seen with eyes just staring at the wall. My future is an open field. It's solely up to me. To all the castles I will build, I hold the magic key. I do not need a psychic's help to guide me through my life. I should, however, trust myself, and I will learn to strive. I have the power of divine that's flowing in my veins. I am the one to write my lines and will, starting today. or in my case, 14 years later. I wrote that poem at the very beginning of 1998. And I say that it took me 14 years because even though I realized what it is that I wanted to do with my life, long ago, as most of us have that realization, I didn't do anything about it until close to the middle of 2012. So it took quite a long time. Now, the topic for today and how that feeds into it is the topic of reaction versus creation. We tend to live our lives in a reactionary manner, and it's not our fault. That's our programming. That's our programming by, if you believe in past lives, then that's certain programs that we came in with. I came in having a very specific programming. I knew that I was not going to smoke, I was not going to drink, I was not going to do drugs. That just not what I was going to do. I didn't know that I had that programming, but that programming was somewhere deep inside. And it started showing and expressing itself early on. For instance, I remember very vividly when I was about 5 years old, I was around the campfire with my parents and their friends. And one of their friends jokingly gave me a cigarette. The cigarette was unlit. And they gave me a cigarette and they said, you know, put it in your mouth and smoke it. And I had every intention of doing so because I saw my dad's friends doing it and it seemed cool. And I took the cigarette and my arm and my hand with the cigarette and it literally blocked up about 3 feet in front of my face. And I could not go further. And at that moment, I knew exactly that this was not for me. I dropped the cigarette and never thought about it after that, even though I have friends who smoke. I felt the same way with drinking alcohol. I felt the same way with drugs. It wasn't that I was completely against it. It's just, these are not my toys to play with. that's not what I came for this life to do. Or that's not, well, that was for a writer that didn't work out very well in terms of the phrasing. But that is not why I came here. Those were things that I was not going to be consuming, partially because of my programming from the previous lives. Perhaps I was an addict in the previous lives. Maybe I was an alcoholic. Maybe I didn't want to repeat that in this particular life, which was not what I came here to do. So we have programming. And we also have programming that we receive throughout our childhood, from our parents, throughout society, from our friends and neighbors and movies and books and school and everything else. You know, I remember watching Jaws on television. And to this day, I'm still afraid of sharks, even though I understand that it's not the right thing to do. And I shouldn't be afraid of sharks, or I shouldn't be afraid of snakes or scorpions or anything that can bite and kill me. But I've had certain negative experiences with that in the movies, and that programmed me to react a certain way. So we are all reactionary beings. And I know one of my friends, Mel Dore, who's amazing, here in Chicago, he swam with sharks in open water in Hawaii. This was not a, get into a big cage where the shark cannot get to you. He actually swam in the open waters with the sharks all around him. That takes a lot of guts. But he was under the belief that shark is his totem. And he was one of them. And he had a very strong belief that they were not going to touch him because they would recognize him as one of his own, over their own. And they did. They recognized him as one of their own. He swam with sharks. He came out being completely fine. And it was, I can imagine, a incredible experience that probably changed his life forever. Just thinking about it makes me shiver. So what Mel decided to do was to buck the trend, which is what we're talking about. And no, I am not advising in any way that you go and swim with sharks right now or tomorrow, or you go into the alligator infested waters because you feel that alligator is your totem. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to break the trend of programming. All that programming that has taught us what to do and what not to do, how to react in certain situations, how to be around certain people. And that programming may have saved us in the previous lifetimes, or that programming is hopefully trying to preserve us in terms of our emotional or physical state. It's not necessarily the correct action always. So while you should keep that in mind, and you shouldn't jump off a building without having some protection or a parachute, you should have an ability to expand beyond certain fears and to break a trend. If you're walking in the alley and you see a black person walking towards you, that does not mean that the black person is bad. I know it's idiotic for me to just say that, but many people have that programming. Uh-oh, something bad is going to happen because they've seen the movies, or they've heard things, or they had friends who something happened to. And we live in those worlds of patterns. We are reactionary beings. In doing research for today, I found a very interesting quote by Isaac Newton, which I've read and heard many times ever since school. And the first time that I read it today took me by surprise. And I thought, what an interesting way for us to think about it. So I'm talking about Isaac Newton's third law of motion, which basically states, to every action, there is always opposed and equal reaction. We paraphrase and we say, to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's the way that I remembered it. I remembered it as opposite. So if you're pushing against the door is pushing against you. But then the word itself, opposite, and I pay attention to words specifically and their meanings, that struck me as saying, well, if I look at this literally, then it doesn't meet or it doesn't correspond to my belief systems of what I choose to believe, because if you expend love, then love returns. If you expend hate, then hate returns. So how can it be opposite? So I read more deeply into the law, and the law said that it's not the opposite reaction. It's the same reaction in the opposite directions. So if you expend love, love does come back to you. So that law actually does coincide with what it is that I believe. So every action gives you the same reaction. which is the law that we are all told and we're all taught before. What goes around comes around, right? When you're hitting somebody, and those of us who have done martial arts, you know this very well, you're hitting against the board, it's going to hurt because the board is hitting you back. When you're kissing somebody on the lips, your kiss is going to give you a soft reaction back. So when you're spreading love, you're getting love back. When you're spreading hate, you're getting hate back. That's the way that the universe works. So what do we do about that? Is we buck the trend. When we are supposed to be hateful or stressed in a situation, we should stop. And instead of reacting with the way that we are programmed to react, we need to analyze the situation for what it is right now, not for what we think it's going to happen. You have to potentially be prepared for what happens, but don't automatically assume. We all know the expression about assuming. Don't assume. How do you feel? What is actually happening? Look inside and be a creator of a situation instead of a reactor. If all you're doing is reacting in life, then how do you ever do anything new? How do you ever experience anything new? Because all you're doing is utilizing the same steps that have been pre-programmed into you by usually somebody else who probably doesn't know you better. Because by the time we're making our own decisions, are we really making our own decisions? Or are we just following those patterns that are programmed? And that's the trick. That's the trick, to recognize that, to look within. And before making a decision, make sure that you are the one who's actually making it. You have to be the creator of your experience. I loved another quote as I was doing the research. This one is by Hans Seeley, which I'll come back to in a minute. But the quote is, it's not stress that kills us. It's our reaction to it. So please stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break with Dirk Terpstra and continue our discussion.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Seamless Life. I'm your host, Ellen Baysberg, and in a moment we'll welcome our guest for the evening, Dirk Terpstra. So the Hans Seeley quote that I was talking about is, it's not stress that kills us, it's our reaction to it, which brings all of that to a very, very strong point, at least for me, which is, we have stresses all around us. How we react to it It is up to us. So it's not the stress itself. It's not the pressure itself. It's our reaction to it. And such is life in general. So if we create a different reaction to it, because we're always going to be reacting, but are we the ones who are reacting based on our prior programming, or do we create a reaction that we choose? And hopefully that reaction is one of love instead. So with that in mind, I will bring somebody who is nothing but love. And I know I'm saying high praise, but Dirk is the founder of Soul Love. So Dirk Terpstra, excuse me, I was pronouncing it well all along. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you great. Thank you so much for being on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Alan, for the beautiful intro. I couldn't have done it better myself. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for hosting me on your show. I feel very honored.
I got tripped up. I was searching for a vowel, apparently, in your last name, but it didn't work out as well.
You practiced it so well.
I did. Whatever. So, Dirk, without me tripping over your name again, tell us a little bit about yourself and where Soul Love actually came from.
Yeah, well, do you want to have the long story or the short version?
we have about 45 minutes, so go with the long and I'll stop you if you like.
No, that's fine. I grew up in the Netherlands, as you probably can hear from my accent. I moved 13 years ago with my family from the Netherlands to Canada, British Columbia, Canada. I was born into a really loving family. I had two older brothers. Life was great, and I felt so happy as a little kid. At some point in my life, I think I was 5 or 6, I got really ill. I had a very severe form of bronchitis, and I was in bed, so to speak, for a long time. I felt very, very, very bad. And I think one of the things that has taught me, the whole situation had taught me, is that I'm very, very grateful for my health and for my life in general. As I grew up, I think we have kind of a similar base in that sense. I grew up and started working in a large financial corporation. I turned out to be there, the general manager. My life couldn't get any better. I had a beautiful career, a beautiful wife, two children. And for some reason, life couldn't get any better, so to speak. Well, there were, of course, from the outside, it's always a little different than what you're feeling from the inside. And it's a very short story, but I was the general manager with a large corporation back in Amsterdam. But I also felt always very, very strongly that I wanted to act from my heart, from my deepest feelings. So what I did, I cared very much about nature, about the environment in general. The Netherlands, very small country. You know, as a kid, that nature is very, very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I joined Greenpeace, and I was in an action team. I was climbing chimneys in coal-fired power plants and putting up big banners, etc., while I was this general manager of this large corporation. And it felt really like I had some kind of split personality. But it felt great because I just did something that came from my heart. And then one night we were preparing in the harbor of Amsterdam for an action in quite close by. And it was hot at that night. I was sleeping outside on a little camping bed. And next to me was a woman in her late 60s. And she said, "Well, what do you do actually, Dirk? Are you a student, or what is it that you do?" And there were a lot of unemployed people, part of this action team, students, etc. Some more like radical people. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, how I'm going to answer her? Because I didn't want to lie to her, but I really had to come up with an answer. So I said to her, "Well, I'm responsible for the bottom line of a large financial corporation." And as I spoke out those words, I think subconsciously I must have felt how empty it was. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon after that, within a year, we decided to move to Canada. And I won't go into all the details. Right before I emigrated, my dad passed away. He had a rare form of cancer. He passed away. I was very devastated. because, you know, he was my hero, and it was just at a relatively young age he passed away. When we were in Canada for 2 years or so, my brother passed away. He had been addicted to drugs, to hard drugs, for a long time. His body just gave in, and he just couldn't withstand all the pressure and all the abuse. So he died, and I saw my mom there standing at my brother's grave as a broken woman, and first her life partner and husband, and now her own dear son. And it was about 2 years later, my mom passed away. That same year, one of my friends here I always skied with on the ski hill passed away, and I was devastated. And that's actually, I got at such a low point that I didn't know what to do. I felt so much pain that I thought, well, what's next, if there is a next? Mm-hmm. And I live here in the middle of nature, beautiful place in the forest of British Columbia. And one night I was feeling so down, and I was letting the dogs in the house and looking up at the stars, and I just noticed how pretty it was, how beautiful all those stars, those millions or billions of stars. And I got some feeling of gratitude for being alive at, you know, at this beautiful planet. And that's actually, suddenly a question came up to me, and for some reason I spoke it out loud, and it was, you know, do I have a choice? And I never considered myself as a spiritual person. I more saw myself like as a business person. But I got an answer. And this answer, Alan, it was not just somewhere in my head, but it was somewhere outside that said, of course you have a choice. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just feel the pain that you're feeling? Why don't you acknowledge it and embrace it? And I thought, wow, you know, I was really blown away. And because it will lift you higher. That's the message that I got. So I pondered on that. I couldn't sleep. And the next day, somebody gave me a book. And it was a book of written by Anita Morjani, Dying to Be Me. Mm-hmm. And I started reading her book. And she's a woman. She was in an end stage of cancer. Had this near-death experience, and then suddenly got to see why she got cancer. And she healed herself, basically, within the next couple of weeks. Doctors, oncologists were just blown away, couldn't figure out what happened. But I was reading this book, and I so strongly resonated with me. It resonated with me, and I read it through the night. I finished it, and I thought, wow, you know, this whole story, what I went through, the pains that I've been feeling, that must have been my cancer. And and this revelation, this book that I'm reading and what I figured out that night, that, you know, that must have been my near-death experience, because suddenly it was like a light switch was switched on. And from that moment on, my life changed so much. And that's how I started with the Soul Love. I wanted to spread more of the light. Like with the Greenpeace organization, I was often very much focused, although it came from a loving heart, I was focused on the wrongdoings of this world. Mm-hmm. And I got pretty bitter about it after a while. And now I wanted to spread more love, more light. And so I started Soul Love. I interview on almost a weekly basis inspiring authors, scientists, more like spiritual teachers, can be actually anybody who has a beautiful message to share with the world. I also do this for Om Times, by the way. Many mm-hmm. cover stories have been on over the last 2 years, and yeah. It's really changed my life, Alan.
That's how I found you originally, because I saw that you wrote the Bruce Lipton interview, if I'm not mistaken. And I started saying, who's Dirk? You know, he has a very, very friendly smile, and I wanted to see now more about you. And then I went to Soul Love, and I saw what you were doing, trying to spread love and gratitude. And I said, okay, this is interesting. Then I read more, and you know, it was a lot of parallels. We talk about the parallels. The parallels are even bronchitis. You know, I had bronchitis as a child, and asthma, and I was very sick as a child. and I even started my my first year in school. I started in a medical facility because I was undergoing some treatment for, you know, whatever it was, probably asthma related. So and then I saw 2012. In the fall of 2012 is when you began Soul Love and doing you know, making that big switch, which is exactly when I started doing that. So I saw a lot of these parallels, and that's when I contacted you at first. Wow. And you know, we had a long conversation, and ever since then, I knew that I wanted to have you on the radio and talk to you further. So it's interesting. It's interesting that you looked at that and you asked if you have a choice. I remember very specifically, and we only have a few minutes before the break, so if I don't finish, I'll get to it. But I was in Brazil at John of God. And when I went through the casa the first time, there were no operations done. It was just a clearing. And I remember coming out of it feeling completely different. And the words that came to me at that time, which, again, inside, outside voice, that's really not up to us to decide. But the words were, many people look at the other life, at the life in the spiritual realm, as the life of blessing, failing to recognize that this life is already a blessing. You don't have to wait until the other world to find that blessing. Find the blessing within this one, because being here is a blessing. And when that came to me, that was an enormous realization that I keep going back to any time that I feel something is off. Being in this life is a blessing.
That's beautiful, and it's so true. And you and I both realized it so clearly just because what we went through, you know, like with our own health, for example.
Yeah. All right, everybody, please stay with us. We'll be right back and continue our discussion with Dirk Terpstra.
Conscious Lifestyle on Steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Seamless Life. I'm your host, Ellen Baysbrook, and we're having a conversation with Dirk Terpstra. Dirk, we left off talking about you know, this life being a blessing, but today we're talking about the reactionary response versus creationary response. And in the beginning of the show, I talked about the programming that we have. And when you were discussing the book that you read by Morjani is the Anita Morjani, right? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Who, by the way, I specifically booked, and I'm going to go see her at the Celebrate Your Life conference, which is upcoming here in Chicago in a few weeks. Looking very much
exciting.
Forward to it. Many of the people who you've interviewed are up on stage, so I've met many of them already, but I look forward to meeting new ones like Anita, who I just recently learned about. So the point that I'm trying to make is, when you're reading that book, it helped you change the perspective. And that is what I would recommend to people who want to go from a reactionary state to a creationary one, is change your programming. Change your programming from one of fear-based into love-based. So if it takes books for you to read by Anita, by Neil, by all these wonderful authors, then read those books. Open up and expand your horizons and change your perspectives. For some people, it's meditation. For some people, it's listening to music. For some people, it's books. It doesn't matter. Just change your programming. Do you agree?
Yeah, I fully agree. And I wanted to say is that sometimes it's just also a matter of timing. This book from Anita, whether it's a coincidence or not, I don't believe in coincidences, so I call it a synchronicity. Mm-hmm. But this book was at such a perfect timing, came into my life and I read it. And I think that's really important. Some persons might read this book and say, well, it's a beautiful story, but I cannot fully resonate with it for certain reason. And it's, of course, all very, very personal. But what I also loved, and especially what you said in the beginning of your show, is that was about Newton's law, the mm-hmm. action versus reaction. And when I felt that the light switch was flipped on in my life, that was the action, I suddenly got so much love back. I was spreading love and I got love back. It's an action-reaction mode right away. Mm-hmm. But I think where a lot of people might get stuck in a way. And one of my favorite quotes is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he says, to be yourself in a world that's constantly trying to make you somebody else or something else is the greatest accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And it's, we live in a world and we're under constant pressure. You know, look at your own life. We have about 24 hours a day, to be precise, actually. Mm-hmm. Usually, let's say we sleep for about 8 hours, we work for about 8 hours. What do you do with those 8 hours you have left? And 9 out of 10, you are reacting to something that is happening. It might be your Facebook, it might be the news. Well, usually it's not a lot of good news around. It might be one of your family members or friends that is complaining, or you are having an argument with, or you are joyful with somebody, but you are always in a reactive mode. And how much of this time, like this 8 hours, do you spend purely with yourself? And I don't mean like playing sports or doing something like that. Truly, truly listening to what you really, really want. And that is something you said beautifully at the beginning of the show, where we are, well, I call it often reaction machines. Mm-hmm. We are constantly reacting to what somebody says. And if you only know the thoughts you're having, we have around 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. It's almost, you know, I can almost believe it. And I get tired of it when I think about it. But and more than 60% of those thoughts are negative and random in the first place. Mm-hmm. So if you have thoughts that are negative, the chance might be is that you use words that are negative, and maybe they will result in actions that are negative. And when you have actions that are negative, well, you said it yourself, action, reaction, you get something back and you perceive the world as a very, very bad place.
It's true. Yeah, and we keep on saying that. And we keep on telling people your outside world is a reflection of your inside self. We use all of this terminology and we try to explain things. And I'm not putting myself on a pedestal as somebody who's trying to explain it. But I think until people realize that for themselves, it's very difficult for them to get any explanation. And it's really, really interesting to me. I have relatives who I love. my aunt and uncle, who are amazing. They're wonderful, wonderful relatives. And they were telling me a story of going to Brazil. And they were excited about going to Brazil. They went to Brazil and they hated every moment of it. They saw dirt. They saw poverty. They saw, you know, economy crumbling. They did not enjoy Brazil at all. And I remember looking at them at that moment and thinking, what a difference between you and I. Because when I go to Brazil, looking at the same places that you're looking at, I'm going to see beauty and peace and wonderful music and people. And I will choose to focus on things that are completely different from what you're focusing on. And that is the illustration of how we perceive the world. They perceive the world as a negative place, and that's what they're seeing. And that's what they're getting. I perceive it as a positive place, and that's what I'm getting. It doesn't mean that I have my blinders on, I don't see anything else, but I choose to focus on it. And when you were talking about, you know, us being reactionary and looking at Facebook and reacting to something that somebody says, one of the other ways that you and I talk about is unplugging. You have to be with yourself. You have to be with your own thoughts in order to actually change those patterns. You first have to see what those patterns are, and then you can change and you can do something about it. I remember going to Lisa Williams' and then meeting she class, and one of the things she made everybody do is unplug and not talk for 24 hours. Not talk, not say a single word. And that was a very difficult thing to do, which, you know, actually at that time I did not do. So, but Lisa knows that I was terrible with homework. I did have to do that same thing in Brazil when I went to John of God after the spiritual intervention. You have to basically be on your own. You cannot speak for 24 hours. Don't speak. Don't be around people. They are unplugging you from everything because the energies are so fine at that moment. You're so sensitive. You're so open. You cannot be around other people's energies while you're recovering and they quote unquote are working on you. And I did not know what to expect from that experience. My thought was, well, I'm not going to have any television. I'm not going to have internet. What can I do? Well, you do a lot. And those 24 hours was amazing. Because I read books, I meditated, I spoke to my guides forever and ever, asking them all the questions that I wanted to ask them and receiving answers to it. It was amazing. It was a beautiful, beautiful time. And I didn't have to react to anything. I was creating my experience at the time. And I loved every moment of it. So it is possible. And we just need to unplug.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And by the way, it's so great that you went to John of God because I'd love to go and see him because he inspires me a lot. I've read a lot about him, but that on the side, I cannot agree more with you in that respect. And I have a favorite quote that says, well, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change by Wayne Dyer. And it's so true. But what I also have seen, you know, I've come from a corporate background and I'm now actually completely in the, so to speak, spiritual world. And I speak with so many inspiring people, whether it's spiritual people or scientists, or often they're both because science and spirituality come so close now.
Yeah, Greg Braden would be one of the people that you can put in that equation.
Yes, absolutely. And I had great conversations with Greg Braden, and it's I admire so much what those folks are doing. But you know, the thing is, how do you get there? And often people tend to think that it's kind of a serious thing, you know, to be spiritual and to have maybe to meditate for an hour a day and to drink green smoothies every morning and to be vegetarian and whatever it is, or you don't have to do all this stuff. I think the most important thing, and it is also what Anita Morjani, because we were talking about her, is her key message, is just be yourself. But how can you be yourself when the influence of the outside world that you often mirror yourself with is so strong? And I think, first of all, if you can just look around you in the world, what's going on, and see where you are, and that necessarily all the stuff that you believe is not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. And a nice analogy with that is when you were a sailor and you were out to go on the out in the ocean, let's say in the 1400s or so, they say, well, Alan, be careful, because if you get too close to the horizon, you might fall off. You're dead. You know, you're off mm-hmm. this planet. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew that the Earth was flat. Everybody knew that. All the cultures, or most of the cultures, knew that. And then suddenly there was this, I believe it was a Portuguese team that circumnavigated the planet. They said, wow, we have some crazy stuff going on. The Earth is spherical, is round. And they figured out that gravity kept us from falling off. So if you believe something and you hold on to this belief and you are very rigid into what you're believing, it's maybe very hard to stay in this current moment, because things are changing. New science is changing. And so if you are flexible and you are interested in learning about more of what science is figuring out, well, you mentioned Bruce Lipton, and he is an advocate about the genetics, that we always are led to believe that genetics are static, but that they have now this phenomena of epigenetics, and that genetics are more like a blueprint that you can influence them with your own thoughts. They're influenced by the environment, and your thoughts is one of them. So when you get a clearer picture of what place you are, then maybe you can also, and you feel pains, you know, you feel joy, you might feel pain, you might feel hurt, you might be angry of what's going on in the world. I see a lot of people, I see a lot of Facebook messages, bad stuff is being spread. And I think, okay, you know, this person must feel really, really bad about the world, because this is what they love to spread. Mm-hmm. And why don't you just let it go? You have probably been feeling this, holding on to this for such a long time, and you know that you feel this pain, but why don't you just let it go? Because that's such a powerful way of doing it.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it, but they don't want to let go because that is a part of their identity, and letting go means that they have to be something different. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with our final segment with Dirk Terpstra.
Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Welcome back to our last segment where we're speaking with Dirk Terpstra. Dirk, before we left off, I said something, and I wanted to allow you to expand on that, but also to peel back the curtain. as we're talking about ability of people not to be reactionary, but instead be creationary. Here's something that might horrify a lot of people. What I do during the interview process is I don't really prepare. There are no questions, and Dirk can attest to that. There's no list of questions that we're going to be asking you, and this is the order in which it's going to go. There's a general idea of where we'd like to go, and then we just let things flow. I love improvisation. I love improvisation because I think that instead of preparing, the reason why I do that is to put myself in a situation where I have no idea what's going to happen next. So as we were going to the break, and Dirk was mentioning about the people spreading that information and being in a lot of pain, and then I opened my mouth, and somehow it came out that it's because these people would have to let go of their identity. I have to admit to you that I never really thought of it that way, quite that way. I've never said that. So it just flew. It flew, and that is what I'm striving for, and that is what I love doing. So for some people, it could be extremely nerve-wracking. For me, it's exhilarating because in the Lisa's class, in my intuitive work, what I have learned is to completely surrender, to have my mind blank, to just be in the moment, and what comes out, comes out. And usually what comes out is coming through me, from my guides, and not from me, allowing me to be in that state, in that moment. And that is one thing that you potentially can do, and by you I'm talking to the audience, if you want to be more creationary instead of reactionary, get out of the reactionary mode, remove that part of your persona, and allow things to flow, because you never know what beautiful things are going to come out of it. So now I wanted to get back to Dirk, and you wanted to expand on that and the identity part.
Yeah, well, thanks for allowing this to flow so really nice, because that's how things work, and that's the beauty of what we're doing here and discussing. And I begin to realize that it's way too short of a time, you know, to discuss this whole subject, because right. It's so interesting. But you are so spot on when you said about identifying with your own thoughts that you're having. Because if you're thinking the thoughts over and over again, and that's what we do, because we basically live in a world of thoughts. And those mm-hmm. thoughts, they might have started already like 20 years ago when something happened, and you keep on thinking thoughts related to that one experience. Yep. And over time, this repetitive thought pattern, that becomes your identity. And if you truly believe that you are your thoughts, well, then it can be pretty tough to change, because who are you, you know, when you can't think those thoughts anymore, or you have suddenly different feelings? Who are you then? And it's so true. I know that I've been interviewing Dr. Joe Dispenza, the neuroscientist, who says, well, you truly, literally have to become somebody else. And it's so right. You know, you have to rewire the neural network up in your brain. You have to rewire that. But there are, it sounds very serious, Alan, but it is not. And I'm a very simple guy. You know, I used to run a business in a very simple way. And I truly believe that yet the complexity of life can be also so simple, but we often take it so serious and we get hooked onto those thoughts and emotions. But there are ways of letting it go. And there is a certain process for that. But first of all, when you look around you, the world you're in, and you acknowledge what you see and what you feel, then automatically you begin to take a little bit of distance. It's like, you know, you cross your arms and look at everything that's going on. It's like a helicopter view, and it takes away the energy, everything that you feel. And that is, I believe, the first step of slowly removing the identification of who you are with your thoughts. Do you agree?
I do. It's very interesting that we're going down that path, because I've always I wrote an article for Om Times where I discussed how the whole communication process works and what the mind actually is. And not to go into that article, but if for us to say that somebody is outside of their mind, we're actually quite specific in that description. We just don't realize it. Because if the mind is a container in which we are, in which we exist, and that container is filled with thoughts and desires and programming and so on, and instead of being in that cocoon, you go outside of it, and then you grab an original thought, then you really are outside of your mind. And that is where you should be. That doesn't mean that you should abandon the cocoon at all, because it is a part of your persona, and we live in a material world, and we need that for certain things. But step outside of it, grow, expand. And that's the only way to actually prove that process and remove your identification with your former self, because we are an evolving being, not just somebody who regurgitates information that was programmed into us.
Yeah, that's beautifully said, and I couldn't agree more with this box and where we are caught up in, and even like negative emotions. We mm-hmm. use the word negative, but what is negative? If you can see, if you can feel that emotions that you're feeling that might not be pleasant are a true signal from your body and your mind that says, well, Dirk or Alan, you know, something is going on. Maybe you will have to pay attention here. So you can be thankful for feeling that. And instead of pushing it aside, you can acknowledge it, but also be grateful for what you're feeling. And then it's much easier to move on and to accept what you're feeling, because we are living in a world of duality. We have the dark and the light, and that's how we are in this physical body. But that's not who we truly, truly are, of course.
Yep. And we have to enjoy that. I remember, you know, going through and doing past life regression sessions, and I asked one of my friends, I was very excited about it, and I asked one of my friends to go and try it. And she went, and she told me about her experience, which, again, very interesting way of looking at it. She said in one of her past lives, she went into a life when she was not human. It was a kind of a human existence, but without any emotional attachment. And they had a beautiful life. Everything was great, but she felt no emotions. And she came back and said, I really did not enjoy that. I did not enjoy it, and it made me enjoy my physical experience so much more, because here you have emotion, you have physical reactions, you have love, you have sex, you have anger, you have all of these beautiful tools that you can have at your disposal. And she started enjoying life after that experience. And I thought, what a great way of looking at it, and just another reminder that we are all of those things. We don't have to say that it's bad because it hurts. And that's what you were just saying. It's not necessarily bad. It's what's happening in that moment. Who are you? Who do you choose to be? And what do you choose to do after it? And that is how you can start creating your story instead of reacting to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I firmly believe is that we do not need a near-death experience. We do not need, per se, a past life regression experience mm-hmm. to start feeling this way. There are very, very solid tools, and everybody learns in a different way. I personally, for myself, I learn a lot from being close to myself, taking the time, being still, and listening to my own heart. And I can truly feel the beauty. I can feel the love. I can feel the light. And I often go, every day I go out in nature for about an hour. And I feel so strongly connected. People often say, well, I love nature. Nature is beautiful. Yeah, of course it is, because we are nature. We are this, all this coming from the same source. So it's no wonder that we connect so much with nature. And nature might be so intelligent, yet it's also that simple. And when a bird starts singing, you know, they don't start singing because they want to have a better song than the other bird. Mm-hmm. They just sing because they have a song to sing. And when you start to understand that, where you can simplify things, you can simplify your life, and life can be so much more enjoyable, and then everything feels a little bit lighter.
Yeah, because when you're in nature, and you feel that calmness, and you feel that peace, and you feel that tranquility that our world, that's always busy with information and being ripped into every possible direction, that doesn't exist, because in the middle of that world, you have nature and you have trees that were there before you were born, that will be there after a long, you are gone. And it is peace, it's tranquility. When we look at a tree, it reminds me of what a human is supposed to be. Their roots are deep into the ground. They are rooted. They are physical. But yet they are longing for the sky and getting all of their energy from the sun. So we are physical beings that need a spiritual connection. So when somebody makes fun of a tree hugger, to me, that's sad. Why wouldn't you hug a tree? The tree is reminding you to be still. The tree is reminding you of who you really are. What else is there to do but hug it and thank it for that reminder?
Yeah, that sounds really beautiful. And that reminds me of that we always have the option of how to look at the world. Mm-hmm. When I last year, I was walking outside, walking on the trails here in the forest. And part of the forest really has a very dense canopy. It was very dark. And I saw a few beams of light coming just through the canopy and shining on this small, beautiful orange tiger lily. And this was so beautiful. So we were not in a dark forest. We were just in a beautiful light, small piece of light, and enjoying that.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to have you on. Everybody, please check out Soul Love and Dirk Terpstra. Go to Om Times and go to Facebook and click on all the links. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Alan.